Call the Tax Committee to order. Members, we're going to take Senator Dibble's Senate File 3055 from the table. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Senator Dibble, Senate File 3055.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity to talk about and move forward portions of 3055 separately. To that end, Mr. Chair, I'd like to offer the A3 amendment.
Senator Dibble moves the A3 to delete all. Let's get the bill in the shape he'd like it and then walk through it. All in favor of the A3, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. A3 is adopted. Senator Dibble.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. What the A3 does is it kind of leaves behind for later discussion some of this confusion about the cigarettes that are trying to construe themselves as cigars and how we're going to deal with those from a marketing and tax perspective, though I think the bill, as was introduced, deals with that fairly effectively, and the issues that industry came forward and raised are without merit or substance. There continues to be some confusion around those subjects. So we'll spend a little more time working with the committee members to kind of step through why we think we actually do need to work on that stuff, and hopefully yet this year. But there seems to be a general understanding around some of these other issues that we've raised in other parts of the bill and raised in the committee presentation a couple of days ago around the other kinds of new products that are coming forward both here in the state or on their way to the state. And those are those items that look like candy, the little strips, the lozenges, the pellets, the smokeless tobacco packets, and that sort of thing. So that's as well as the e-cigarette. And we have a whole new issue to talk about as well, which I'll get to in just a minute, a new kind of product that I actually didn't even know about a couple days ago, but I guess it's in Minnesota, and we think we might want to deal with that as well. So just walking quickly through the provisions of the bill, Mr. Chair and members. Section 1 is the kind of the more inclusive definition of tobacco products. This is the OTP, the other tobacco products definition, so that it captures those sorts of products that look like Tic Tacs and lozenge strips, et cetera. So rather than talking about smoking, we talk about absorbing, dissolving, inhaling, snorting, sniffing, et cetera. But make sure that we're specifically not talking about nicotine replacement therapies, the Nicorette gum and the patch and things like that, and that's the bottom part of that paragraph. And that section is referred to for other purposes for the consumer protection pieces, but this also is contained within the tax section of how we deal with tobacco products. Or OTP, other tobacco products. Section 3 is where we start up with some of the consumer protection pieces. Section 3 prohibits the free distribution of tobacco products. Section 4, and the single servings, but that's exempted, of course, for tobacco stores. Section 4. The next few sections deal with authority to local districts. The first part relates to establishing that local authority as it relates to tobacco-related devices. Section 5 has to do with prohibiting sales to minors. Section 6 has to do with establishing the penalties for sales to minors. Section 7 has to do with minors who purchase these products and providing for some alternatives to those two penalties, including notice to schools, parents, community service, diversion types of opportunities. Section 5 authorizes compliance checks. Again, we're trying to capture these other tobacco-related devices. Section 9 provides for the affirmative defense for retailers who have tried to do their due diligence in keeping these materials out of the hands of minors. Section 10 is where we try to prevent the open access on shelves next to candy of some of these products. It provides an exception for tobacco stores. This is the language that industry came up with, and I haven't actually circled back to them, but this is, I think, literally the language that they developed, so I assume that they support this language because they wrote it. Section 11 is where we really do provide for the prevention of youth sales and access within the criminal code, and we're trying again to capture these new products, except for the nicotine replacement therapy. And then Section 12 parallels Section 11, but this is where we try to capture the e-cigarettes. We don't wrap the e-cigarettes into the other tobacco product definition because it actually doesn't have tobacco in it. It's just a nicotine delivery system, but we really don't want to be selling these e-cigarettes to kids. Getting kids addicted to nicotine, even if it's not tobacco, is probably not a good idea. But there's this other product that consists of lobelia, which is a flowering plant that now is being dried and rolled into cigarettes and being sold, and we need to try to prevent the sale of this lobelia to kids. It's a whole new thing, never even heard of it until a couple days ago, but it's starting to emerge, and we probably need to jump on it. That's the outline of the and I did, Mr. Chair, check with Senator Moi about the addition of this Section 12, because it pretty much parallels Section 11, establishes only a misdemeanor. She did not need to see it in Judiciary Committee. To that, I've got Carrie Gordon from Clearway, Minnesota, who can help illuminate us a little bit further or answer questions. Particularly, I think she wants to also talk about this lobelia, which many people actually plant in their gardens and in their deck pots. I used to do it, too.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to come back and talk about some of the important sections of the bill. The lobelia...
name for the record.
Oh, I'm sorry. Carrie Gordon with Clearway, Minnesota. Lobelia, Senator Dibble mentioned, is what we're seeing is the e-cigarette device, because there's been a lot of national concern and outrage, actually, the traditional e-cigarette device was just what it did is it vaporized nicotine. And so we've actually seen that product within 2 years innovate. So now that there is a company producing, it's called a My E-Stick, and instead of having nicotine, it uses the lobelia to provide kind of a similar effect, and so they're saying that they're no longer using nicotine, trying to get around some of the concerns. The concern that we have with that product is that's the product that's selling for $25 in convenience stores, so it's actually the product that's most likely to be accessed by youth because it is the cheapest of the versions out there. And lobelia has its own health concerns along with it. And the reason why they use that is because it was once considered to be a potential option for nicotine replacement therapy, but has since been proven not to be effective and have some significant health dangers.
So is it addictive?
Yes, it can be. Mm-hmm. So, and then I'll just mention that we put in your packets, there was an article that actually came out just 2 days ago that talks about the tobacco mints that we showed at the hearing last week being tied to poisoning of kids. It's very timely that this article would come out saying that smokeless tobacco as a general category is now the second, ranks second in terms of poisoning of children, of incidents. And so the article specifically talks about the stick strips and mints that we're trying to incorporate through this legislation in our tobacco definition so that kids do not have access to them. So it clearly demonstrates that this is a very clear and present danger, and that this the steps we're taking will get Minnesota ahead of the problem. We also put an example, some pictures in your pocket that shows some of the concern around the open shelf display and access to products. And I think the one that speaks closest or most elaborative is it shows pictures of flavored little cigars next to a display of Frosted Flakes, and that these pictures were all taken in stores in Minnesota. So it shows that the open shelf provision that we have in here is actually quite necessary to get all these products behind the counter.
And we have another article from the New York Times, Mr. Chair, that shows how these little candy type products are being targeted towards young people, create new nicotine addicts.
So we certainly think that this is definitely great steps in the right direction in terms of bringing Minnesota's laws up to date with what the products we're seeing on the marketplace, and certainly appreciate the opportunity to move it forward.
Any questions, members?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Sandra.
And to the witness, I'm looking at these pictures. Is this the rare exception or the typical rule to have the products in a readily available situation and not behind the counter?
Mr. Chair, Senator Senjum, thank you for the question. It's hard to say. I would say probably as a rule that the larger chain convenience stores probably do a better job of having all products behind the counter, but the more kind of independent, where we tend to see more examples of products on counter in front of the counter are maybe more independent retailers or corner stores, neighborhood stores. That's just a generalization. I don't think that we have done a complete survey of what's out there in the state, but it's certainly more common than you would hope and expect that these products are in front of the counter. So what we're doing in this legislation is making it very clear that that's no longer acceptable.
Mr. Chair, and to the witness, funny things are said at breakfast tables, but at the breakfast table this morning, somebody commented that federal law requires that these kind of products be behind a counter. Is that accurate? Do you know?
Mr. Chair, Senator Senjum, the last year the federal government passed a bill that authorizes the FDA now to regulate tobacco products, and that bill will be implemented over a period of years through 2015. And so I can't speak to exactly when that provision may take place. So it's possible that the federal government has taken action, but it may not occur for a number of years.
Thank you. Ms. Gordon, anything further?
No, thank
Senator
you.
Senator Dibble, would anybody else like to testify on the bill as amended? And Senator Mouad does not have an interest in seeing it, Senator Dibble?
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
And Senator Scheid, Commerce Committee?
Has not. I haven't specifically asked her, but we did ask upon introduction, and she did not express interest in seeing it, nor did Senator Marty.
Senator Marty and the Health Committee, I believe we both talked to and said he didn't have a reason to see it.
Right.
The all-powerful Tax Committee.
We do amazing work here.
Senator Dibble moves that Senate File 3055 as amended be recommended to pass and sent to the floor. Any other discussion? Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In this proposal, is this affecting or ascribing a tax to these products that are not otherwise taxed?
No fiscal.
Mr. Chair, Senator Limmer, the only tax provision is the first section, and that is redefining tobacco products. But it's my understanding that the department's position is those products are already taxed. So there is no revenue being generated by the bill.
So, Mr. Chair, let me get this right. We aren't, in the tax committee, we aren't proposing a new tax or removing an old tax. We're passing a bill regarding the increase of a criminal fine. Is that what this is?
Senator Dole, we're changing some definitions about what a tobacco product is and where it can be displayed.
I guess the question I have is the jurisdiction of our tax committee on whether or not we have the proper jurisdiction to affect gross misdemeanor charges where things can be placed in a store for sale rather than a tax policy that usually should be our jurisdiction.
Well, Senator Limmer, I think the point is we took the tax provisions out, and what remains are provisions that are probably relative to other committees' jurisdiction. But I personally had a conversation with Senator Marty, and he said he didn't feel a need to see the bill in the Health Committee.
Senator Dibble spoke with Senator Moi, mm-hmm. and I thought her and Senator Scheid would be here today to speak to their committee jurisdictions, but they're not. But Senator Dibble, Senator Moi's position was?
She does not need to see it in judiciary.
Mr. Chair, don't get me wrong. I think Senator Dibble is going in the right direction. I'm just asking questions on process.
That's why Senator Limmer asked the question how those committee chairs felt. And I think the fact that Senator Scheid and Senator Marty are both on the committee, I wish they were here, but.
Well, the other question would be, is it's okay to get the opinion of a chairman of a committee, but I'd be more comfortable knowing the position of the committee, not just the chair.
Well, I think, Senator Limmer, the rules provide for something to be sent back once it's on the floor. Senator Scheid, we're talking about tobacco products, changing mm-hmm. some definitions that seems like it's under the jurisdiction of the Commerce Committee. So we were having a conversation with Senator Dibble about whether it was, we've taken all the tax provisions out, whether it was appropriate for the tax committee to send this to the floor or if it should go to some other committee for review.
Mr. Chairman, and I apologize for coming in a bit late here. It's my understanding that all tobacco-related issues go to the Health Committee and not to Commerce.
Mr.
That
Chair,
was established
Senator
back when...
Dibble.
I did also want to... two items I just wanted to be clear about. One is there is appropriately a tax provision. 297F.01 is a section of the tax code. These items are being taxed as they should be now, but kind of on a understood or voluntary basis. I'm not sure. This makes it clear. So, that is what compels this bill into this committee. The other pieces aren't an increasing criminal sanction. They're just also, again, clarifying what's captured under the existing tobacco regimen.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, again, I'm late, but I mean, I'm assuming we're not thinking of taxing some, imposing a tax that we don't already impose. It's just we're adding certain products to it that apparently, maybe not by definition on the label, mm-hmm. but by definition in their makeup, really constitute things that we already tax, and they should be taxed the same way.
Correct. Mr. Chair, Senator Scheid, that's correct.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Langseth.
Mr. Chair, it seemed like what we've got before us now is mainly policy, and it kind of seemed like it should go to the policy committee that would deal with it. And so I kind of agree with Senator Limmer. I do that very seldom, but on this case, I do.
This is noteworthy.
it does seem kind of strange that we pass a policy bill out of here to the floor without going through the policy committee. I don't, and I'm not talking about commerce as much as I'm talking about health and human services.
Senator Langseth, we're coming together now, Senator Limmer. Too bad we have an intervening election. We're doing so well. Council, what was the path of this bill? Did it get when it was Senator Dibble, when it was initially introduced, where was it sat?
Here, Mr. Chair.
It wasn't.
Here.
Council, where was the bill sent when it was introduced?
Mr. Chair, it was originally sent to the Health Policy Committee and then re-referred to taxes.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
The chair had indicated, Mr. Chair, I forgot about that. I did make a motion on the floor to get it into taxes because the chair himself had indicated he didn't want to see it. So.
Senator Limmer, would you like to wait on moving the bill out until Senator Marty gets here? I'm assuming he'll be here today.
Sure.
Senator Langseth, you want to hear from Senator Marty before we move it out? Or?
Thank you. We'll have a full house here.
Mr. Chair, could I just get a clarification?
Senator Sundrum.
We've got a we have an amendment here which talks about a petty misdemeanor, and I don't know this. I guess it's new. Senator Moore hears nearly every bill that we have before the legislature, and I would be surprised if she would not want to see one that that actually involved a criminal sanction, or at least a sanction. I would be favorable towards getting her opinion as well.
Okay. Senator Dibble, why don't we Senator Dibble withdraws his motion and moves that Senate File 3055 as amended be laid on the table. We'll try to take it up later today.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Bill is laid on the table as amended. Members, we have before us Senate File 3327. Will be our omnibus tax bill. We walked through it yesterday. There's a small date change that was made aware to me. On line 73.5, it's the lease recreational land provision that we carried in last year's tax bill. We just picked up last year's language, and we didn't change the date on line 73.5. It would be very hard to make this effective for taxes payable in 2010, considering those statements have already gone out. So Senator Skoy moves the oral amendment on line 73.5, delete 2010, and insert 2011. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Contrary, no. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Other amendments. We have a technical one that the department suggested. Senator Skoy moves the A7. Council, the A7 amendment. Can you walk through that for us?
Mr. Chair, most of the A7 amendment relates to provisions that the department suggested these technical amendments, claiming to claims and correcting the right numbers and dates and correcting an effective date and neighborhood to community. The final line of the amendment, line 12, changes the amount being appropriated to the cash flow account so that it reflects the new updated spreadsheet.
So, yeah, I guess we all need to recognize that there is $3.2 million in this bill on the bottom line, and what we're proposing to do is, and Senator Cohen, I've talked with Senator Cohen about this, and I told him we were going to take the money and move it over to the cash flow account. I think everybody's aware that the state has some very significant cash flow problems, and an additional $3 million might make a difference. On the A7 amendment, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary, no. The motion prevails. The A7 is adopted. Let's take the Goodrich Burnsville provision. This was Senator Dahl's bill that we heard yesterday. It was a late bill. I think, Council, does this reflect the amended version of the bill yesterday that we worked off of, that we walked through?
Mr. Chair, the only changes to the text in the amendment as opposed to the bill are the increase in the number of jobs that are required, and also adding that the refund can't be issued until the capital investment is at least $59 million.
And the public infrastructure has been taken off.
And the public infrastructure has been removed, too.
Any questions, members? This is the bill we heard yesterday from Senator Dahl.
Mr. Mr. Chair.
Senator Sundrum.
Mr. Chair, do you remember what the base was in terms of numbers of jobs? I see it refers a couple of times to 1,560 being, I think, the threshold.
Senator Sundrum, I believe the current number is 1,320.
Okay.
And that the company indicated they were going to add 240. But once they reach that number, then they'd be eligible for a phased-in refund of the sales tax on the construction materials because the equipment's already tax-exempt.
Chair.
On the A2, Senator Limmer.
Mr. Chair, I noticed on page 1, lines 10 and 11, these are factors that we would qualify a business to give this tax exemption. It seems like it's limited to the manufacturing of defense-related or aerospace sensors and the production of microelectric mechanical systems. If the corporation wanted to expand someday in the future or have a division or a wing of making something else, maybe putting more jobs, creating more jobs, does this mean that they would have to come back to the legislature to get a further exemption, or could they have that same exemption if they were making something else?
Well, Senator Double, these purchases and this capital investment has to be made before December 31st, 2015.
I'm sorry?
So the purchases, in order to have the sales tax refunded, have to be made before December 31st, 2015 on line 1.35.
Okay.
So the bill is limited in scope to that respect already. And this is the company's comfortable with the language. Is Mr. Loftus here?
Mr. Chair, can we?
Senator Limmer.
I couldn't be here early in the day yesterday. What is the name of the corporation that's seeking?
Why don't we have Mr. Lind, correct?
Yes.
Mr. Lind, why don't you refresh the committee's memory about what this expansion project for your company is and the name of the company for Senator Limmer's recollection?
My name is Carl Lind. I'm Director of Operations with Goodrich Sensors and Integrated Systems. We employ approximately 320 people in Burnsville and Eagan, Minnesota. They're contemplating some expansion plans over the next through 2015 and beyond that. This bill reflects supports our growth through 2015 and our plans through 2015, looking to partner with the state to help reduce our costs and make us more competitive in the worldwide aerospace market.
Mr. Lind, can you pull the mic a little closer?
Please.
Sure. Senator Limmer?
That's all I need to know.
Mr. Lind, we wish you the best. And if something here doesn't work out, please come back to us and let us know. We want to make sure that you're successful and add jobs.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, committee.
Mr. Loftus, does it work?
Mr. Chairman, Mark Loftus from Deed. To the question earlier from Senator Limmer about whether if another line of business or another set of work could come to this facility, I think we have worked with the company in the city under the premise that this is an attempt to induce and encourage them to make this investment in Minnesota when they have multiple opportunities around North America and perhaps the world to make this investment. So if there were another set of activities, another project that would be coming along, I think we would look at that as another possibility. We would evaluate it at that time as a separate project.
Senator Limmer?
Mr. Chair, we've had experiments with giving individual corporations special deals on taxes in order to encourage economic development or jobs in rural Minnesota, even in places in the Twin Cities. Quite often we find that once the tax exemption or the special deal dries up and it's over, corporations leave. What do you have in mind for long-term planning after this time frame would expire in 2015? Are you planning on staying around in Minnesota, or are you going to go, you know, we don't have time to be diplomatic necessarily, but in 2015, where do you go? Do you come back here? Are you setting roots down, or are you going to move on to the next state that gives you a tax exemption?
Senator, in response to that, we have 58 acres in Burnsville. We plan to continue to grow, and through 2015, that would fill out approximately 50% of our site. So we have no plans to leave the area, and through Goodrich Corporation, Goodrich has made commitments to staying in Minnesota.
Senator Lemire, okay?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Anything else? Members, any other questions of Mr. Lind, Mr. Loftus? On the A2 amendment, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary, no. The motion prevails. The A2 is adopted. Other amendments? Senator Ortman.
I would offer the A5 amendment. Mr. Chair.
Senator Ortman, would you like to walk through your amendment?
Sure. Members, this is such a great idea. The A5 amendment would allow tax checkoff voluntary participation in a contribution for homeless prevention and food shelves. Taxpayers could designate $1 for that purpose. That's the gist of the amendment. It was brought to me, and I know too many of you personally, by advocates for the food shelves and homeless prevention. And I think since it's a voluntary program, I think it makes a lot of sense, and I hope you'll support it.
Senator Moi.
Mr. Chair, Senator Ortman, was this a bill that we heard in this committee? I'm fuzzy. Looks familiar.
Mr. Chair and Senator Moi, I know it was introduced. I don't know whether it was given a hearing. I don't recall.
Senator Moi, I believe it was.
Whose bill was it, Mr. Chair?
I believe Senator Anderson brought the bill.
Is this the Senator Anderson bill?
Mr. Chair, it's not my bill. I signed on. I'm a co-author, but I believe it is Senator Anderson's bill.
Okay.
Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Ortman, I support this because I think we are in a period of severe economic crisis, and but I do think that we're going to come out of it, and it seems to me that even though I don't think we should start putting on permanently all kinds of other checkoffs, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to offer an amendment to the amendment that would sunset the provision. Let's see, after 3 years, I guess.
Counsel, can you arrest oral amendment? Would be what to put a 3-year sunset on it?
That it would.
It's fine.
Mr. Chair, the amendment would be on page 1, line 14, after 2009, insert, comma, and before December 31, comma, 2012. And then we're going to do the same thing again on page 2, line 12, where it's comma, and before December 31, 2012. And again on page 3, line 6, comma, and before December 31, 2012, after 2009.
Mr. Chairman, that would be my amendment to the amendment. And, you know, if God forbid we're still in a period like we're in right now and have been for some time, that would at least give us a chance to review the program and whether it should be continued or not.
Senator Orban, would you like to incorporate that? Would you like to vote on it?
Mr. Chair, I think that's a friendly amendment. I consider it that. I think these are extraordinary times. If you know folks that work in these food shelves and homeless centers, they are just overwhelmed, and anything we can do to help is, I think, really important. So I accept it as a friendly amendment.
Senator Rest incorporates into her amendment the Rest Oral Amendment. Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, I think that I recall Senator Anderson's presentation, but there were some numbers attached to this, and I was wondering if Senator Ortman would describe what. I think we have just one other checkoff that is where people can decide to pay a little extra into the so-called chickadee checkoff, or decrease their refund. So that's what this is. It's not like the political checkoff on the top of the form. This, can you tell us how much it will raise, and will it have an impact on the chickadee, and how will the money be used?
Senator Orban.
Mr. Chair, I don't know those specifics, and I don't want to give wrong information, so I hope that our Senate staff would help us with that information. If there was a fiscal note, if it would be...
Right behind you.
Oh. They're very good. Mr. Chair, she informs me that fiscal year 11, it will raise $300,000. That's what I thought. $300,000, and the cost to administer would be $88,000. In fiscal year 12, that goes up to 340 raised, but just 44,000 in a cost to administer. Cost goes down after it's done once. For fiscal year 13, it says 35, but I believe it's 350,000 raised and 45,000 to administer.
Senator Ortman, when we heard the bill in committee, we discussed the idea of taking the department's cost out of the money that's checked off. But your language doesn't do that, so your language actually has a general fund cost. How would you feel about using some of the money that's checked off to cover the administrative costs so we don't have a general fund cost?
Mr. Chair, I would also consider that a friendly amendment. It's more important to get this done, and I hate to impose any new cost on the general fund. So,
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, I guess it's difficult to say you don't support doing this, but I don't, because there's no end of good things that we could put the state budget up and let people decide where they wanted us to spend our money. People are able right now to make contributions, and I believe that that would feed into, you know, if they itemize their deductions, they would realize actually a tax break. This really isn't that at all. I think the incentive is more on the doing it for the deduction than it is here. And I'm still not comfortable with how, and I just can't recall what Senator Anderson talked about in terms of who's going to decide what to do. I mean, I would like to fund the homeowner lender mediation with this money and save people some homes and not have them have to go to food shelves or whatever. But I don't think that's what this money, how it would be chosen to be used. And I'd like to ask again if Senator Ortman would talk to me about how they'll decide how they're going to, what that means, homeless prevention. Are you going to help people with payments? And that's not enough money to get us very far to do that. Is it just to give to food shelves? I'm more interested, I guess, in how it could possibly help homeless prevention. I understand if you gave it to shelters, but that's not homeless prevention, so maybe you could explain that for me.
Well, Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, I think it's a fair policy question. I don't think there's a right or wrong here. I think it's a preference. And for me, I think this is a good idea. It's not a bad thing if you don't agree. I mean, I think we're going to have a vote on this, and either more policymakers will think this is good policy or more will think it's not good policy. But I think that if you look at lines 1.26 through 1.34 or 30, you'll see where the money goes, 50% for homeless prevention and services through emergency services grants administered by DHS, and 50% to the food shelf programs that are administered by that department.
Senator Limmer.
Mr. Chair, I was listening to Senator Scheid's comments about a tax deduction may be considered a more valuable tool that someone could use in donating to these companies, but I also think of roughly the, 35-40% of Minnesotans that don't make any payment on their income tax because of their tax bracket. And they don't think in tax deduction strategies necessarily. So here they have an opportunity. Everyone has an opportunity to just put off a little check off, and they can fill in the blank of what the dollar amount is. I think that's a good purpose. And, yeah, for others, maybe a tax deduction is the smarter way to go. But I don't see any problem with this type of bill. And quite honestly, I kind of like checkoffs myself. So I don't think it's all that damaging to the Minnesota revenue collection system in the state.
Senator Coy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Ortman. You know, one of the issues that I had when Senator Anderson presented this is that I think we're going to end up with a continual ongoing number of these coming forward, and pretty soon we'll have so many of these that, you know, none of them are going to receive enough money to really make much difference to the cause. So what I was suggesting to Senator Anderson, and I would suggest to you, that you replace the current checkoff with this checkoff, and then I think we'd have a pretty good chance of supporting it. And, you know, then your decision is, you know, do you prefer the non-game wildlife, you know, or homeless people? Well, you know, and then you wouldn't be detracting funding from one checkoff. You would give all the money to the checkoff, the one checkoff that is on the tax form. So I would hope you would consider replacing the chickadee checkoff with this checkoff, so we wouldn't be adding continual numbers of checkoffs to our tax form. And I see Ms. Cadoon is sitting at the table. I don't recall what the department's position on adding these to the form is, but maybe she could tell us what the department thinks about adding a never-ending number of checkoffs to the form.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we can stop the floodgates. I think we know how to do that in this committee, and I think we can recognize that these are extraordinary times. And I don't agree with replacing the one with the other. I think this just gives a reminder and an opportunity to folks to make an easy contribution to our food shelves and to our homeless prevention programs. And I don't think we have to look at it in such a complicated fashion that if five more come to us next year, we can't figure out that maybe that's not the same set of extraordinary circumstances that we face this year. I trust us to get that right as we go forward. And I think that the sunset helps us with that, too. It doesn't signal that this is something we want to see as a permanent part of our policy making, but just a very temporary measure.
Well, Senator Ortman, if this use is important, why don't we just appropriate the money through the Health and Human Service Committee? I mean, I my concern is budget circumstances are very difficult. So people on the spending side are going to come to the tax committee thinking, well, if we don't have money to spend, we'll come get it through the tax committee through a checkoff or through a credit. And I see us next year dealing with more of these kind of provisions than we've dealt with previously, because we all know next year's financial situation is pretty dire. Senator Ortman?
Mr. Chair, I think this is the simple beauty of this provision, which is people get to self-identify. Instead of being forced to put more money in or pay more in taxes, They're given the option if it's identified for this particular purpose. They self-identify. Otherwise, if we wanted to do it your way and just increase the budget, then I think that we have the mandatory taxation. We have more budgeting. We have more administration. We have to come back. There are inflationary costs. It's assumed in the next year's budget. I'm saying in these extraordinary times, this is a one-time opportunity for us to give people a chance to self-identify and get some money quickly where it's needed.
Ms. Cadoon?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Beth Cadoon with the Department of Revenue. If I could just respond to some of the questions that was mentioned. Senator Sherrod, you'd asked about the wildlife checkoff and if it was going to erode that donations to that checkoff. Right now, that checkoff raises about $1 million a year, and that's remained fairly constant over the past years on since the checkoff's been enacted. And it really hasn't varied much from that $1 million mark. It's claimed, unfortunately, I forgot my folder, so this is all from memory, so hopefully if my percents are a little off, but it's claimed on about 2.5% of returns currently. What Senator Anderson testified in committee, and we'd also, our research division also concurred with that analysis, was that they didn't expect it to erode the wildlife checkoff if you just add one additional, and especially for the homeless, because their analysis showed and what also I think what happened in California as well is it appeals to really a separate segment of the population, so they didn't see it eroding the wildlife checkoff. However, they said for the for states, some states have numerous checkoffs. I think the 8 or 18, I can't remember what the top one is, but just numerous checkoffs. They said once you start adding more than two, frankly, you're going to see some erosions in the current checkoffs. So I think that's the concern from the Department of Revenue's perspective, too, is once you start adding checkoffs that the forms get much more complicated and just a concern of how you would then limit the numbers. One other point to make is just so you know, right now our forms are fairly crowded, and what our fiscal note had showed for the cost of doing this was frankly that we'd have to add probably a separate form or sheet of, for taxpayers for the checkoffs, so both checkoffs would be on a separate form, and so that was really the additional cost.
Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Ortman. You know, we both have the opportunity to serve on the Transportation Committee, and I think the precedence here is the same that's going to happen to this that happened to our license plates. I don't remember if we have 29 or 37 or whatever number of special license plates there is, but there's so many of them that we actually repealed one of them because nobody's requested it. And these good causes come along. They're all, you know, good causes, but I think as the chair indicated, we should be funding them with appropriations and not going down this road.
Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, I would agree that maybe we've lost the political will to manage the license plates issue, but I would be happy to work with Senator Skoy on repealing some of those if we're both back next year. Be happy to do that. I do still think that the extraordinary times, this is a really good measure, and we can police it. I trust us to do that here in the Tax Committee especially.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Langsa.
Mr. Chair, I've tended to support this. I do understand the argument that this may just encourage others. I think what concern among a lot of people is when this bill gets to the floor, will there be all kinds of mother and apple pie amendments to go on with this? And I was just wondering what your position would be on going further if those were to come up.
Senator Ortman, if one was offered on checkoff on veterans, how would you vote?
Well, Mr. Chair, I don't know, but I have this policy that might be unusual here in the Tax Committee or in the Senate is good bill, vote yes, bad bill, vote no. I try not to overthink some of these things. This is a good bill. I don't know what else might be coming. I would try and protect this because I think it's a very good idea, and if I thought that it would lead to a destruction of our intent or the inability to pass it, I would be trying my best to protect it, Senator Langsa. I think it's a good idea.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ortman, I appreciate your perspective. It just, from where I sit, sometimes you don't vote for good bills.
<I'm sorry. laughs>
Senator Ortman, I have huge appreciation for the work that food shelves do, to the point that in the last 3 years, in December, probably the first week of December, in each of the last 3 years, I had a fundraiser down at the Liffey to benefit the food shelves in northern Minnesota. And many of the people in this room came and contributed. And I know the first 2 years we raised something pretty close to $50,000 for the food shelves in each of those years. This last year was less. I think contributing factor was the recessionary times that we're in. But I think all of us, the positions that we're in, could probably find ways to promote causes that we think are important. And I don't want anybody to think that my no vote somehow means that I don't have a lot of empathy for homeless people or for food shelves. I certainly have demonstrated on the food shelf part to my personal commitment to helping food shelves raise money. Senator Dibble.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And, I appreciate the and completely respect the reasons that have been articulated by those who are not inclined to support this idea. I support it strongly. I understand the slippery slope arguments, but what really causes me to support it is the fact that Senator Rest added the sunset that really recognizes the unique moment we're in. Just 2 days ago in the paper, an article ran about the number of homeless youth that we have, and those numbers are increasing in ways that we can only begin to imagine. I myself host a fundraiser every year in my district for homeless youth prevention, and we raise about $75,000. So I'm really, really proud of that. And right now we have, of course, the boxes in our offices. So everyone here, please come to my office, buy some new packet of socks or T-shirts or undies, and drop them off in the box. We have a little socks drive going on right now. So everyone, please, we need to fill up those boxes, and a number of other senators too. But the circumstances, the Wilder research group did a survey, discovered how the numbers are increasing among homeless youth and homeless in general. It's really, really, really bad out there. Every year we have a march and a memorial service to honor and remember individually the number of people who have died on our streets because they lack shelter, and people come forward and tell their stories. This is not a nameless, faceless problem. The crisis is huge. So the fact that it's time-limited, it recognizes this unique moment that we're in, is I understand completely and will not feel bad about folks who vote against, but I do hope it gets on because I think this creates a greater level maybe of awareness among the larger public about what exactly is going on. People are losing their homes, and a lot of those people are teenagers who are disconnected from their families, and it's shocking. We don't see it a lot because they're under freeway overpasses, or they're staying on sofas somewhere, or hanging out in day shelters or something. But I think this is a good idea.
Mr. Chair, just one final point in support. It's been difficult to find ways in our tax policy this year and in our budget to do innovative things and find additional ways to help in these economic times. And I think that this is an opportunity for us to do that and to make a positive change in our tax policy for the next couple of years to address what are emerging circumstances and exigent circumstances. So I hope members will support it. I will do my best, my personal best, I can't speak for anybody else, to resist other attempts to try and add a different check off at any time this year, of course.
If this amendment goes on, I have to go back and visit with Senator Cohen, because Senator Cohen asked me last night if there were any appropriations in the tax bill. This will put an appropriation in the tax bill. So, Senator Cohen, if you're watching, there's going to be an appropriation in the tax bill if Senator Ortman's amendment goes on. But members, council has an oral amendment, and the intent of it, Senator Ortman, would be to use money that the checkoff generates to pay the department's cost of administering the collection of the money. And you were supportive of that. So, Council.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, on line on page 1, line 30, after the period, insert, an amount to pay the personal and administrative costs to administer the checkoff is annually appropriated to the commissioner from the Homeless Prevention and Food Shelf Management account.
Senator Orman.
Mr. Chair, I would adopt that if I may, as a friendly amendment.
And I think we have to do it somewhere else also.
On page 2, line 5, after programs and insert, and for administration of the checkoff program. And then page 2, line 22, we're going to insert the language from before, an amount to pay the personnel and administrative costs to administer the checkoff is annually appropriated to the commissioner from the Homeless Prevention and Food Shelf Management account. And then on page 2, line 34, we're going to add after programs and for administration of the checkoff program.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Limmer.
Mr. Chair, was the word, you stated the word personal expenses, or is that personnel?
Personnel.
All right.
Senator Ortman, would you like to incorporate the council's oral language?
Mr. Chair, I do.
Senator Ortman incorporates council's oral language into her amendment. On the A5 amendment, any other discussion? Senator Sendra.
Just briefly, and we talk about other causes coming forward, and maybe they will, who knows, but to me at least, this particular cause is about people that don't regularly come to the Capitol and advocate for themselves. Either they're too proud, they don't know the system. I think in terms of appropriateness, this is special, and this is something that we ought to do. They don't have necessarily, I don't believe, a strong voice at the Capitol. Many other groups that are also good causes do.
Senator Moore.
Actually, you know, Mr. Chair, I am going to support this amendment, and it is for all the reasons that have been stated. But I just have to say that, you know, this bill was brought to Senator Anderson by a group of high school students who I think that high school students have been really active in this area. They've had overnight tenting sleepovers to try to bring attention to this issue. And this was the one issue that really got a number of them to personally visit many, many of our offices to advocate for this. And so I struggle with policy implications the same, I think in the same way. But I just have to tell you that it is very compelling to me that a group of our young people thought it important enough to put a bill together and to really use it as an opportunity for them to engage and to be active. And so my support of this amendment is going to be for the young people who were the advocates on this specific piece of legislation.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, forgive me. I think it's terrible policy, and it's a terrible, you know, but it's not so terrible that I, you know, won't know what to do with myself when it passes. But but I we've been down this road. I see former tax chair Schreiber sitting in the room, and I remember we had these conversations when he chaired the tax committee about adding checkoff. So we've been talking about it off and on, and it looks like the Senate's getting ready to do that. At least I did have an amendment about beer at the Twin State or at the TCF Bank Stadium, but I won't offer that. I just as soon see that money dedicated to this. This really is a tax increase. It's just that now we're just going to ask people if you want to increase your tax obligation. And we've had countless groups at this Capitol, right above us in the rotunda, this year, last year, in years, I can't think of a year when we didn't have people advocating for the homeless, advocating for food shelves and other charitable kinds of work, asking us, frankly, to consider increasing taxes. And I guess we've come to the point where we're willing to put our toe in the water and do it a little bit, because, you know, a lot of people won't even really understand that it is a tax increase. So, I mean, it's not. It's one you make willingly, I understand, but I don't think it's a good trend to start asking people item by item what you want, you know, to pay your what you want your taxes to go for. So be it.
Any other discussion? Senator Ortman renews her motion on the A5 amendment with the incorporated oral amendments. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary, no?
No.
The motion prevails. A5 is adopted. Other amendments?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Resk.
Mr. Chairman, I have an oral amendment on for page 118, line 2, which has to deal with the pooling, the TIF pooling provision. And what it would do is be to strike 3 and insert 6 for the number of months that a house would be on the market before it would be included in the
provision. Senator, what line is that on?
I think it's line 2. Comes from a discussion with the advocates for the provision and also with Minnesota Realtors. And everybody's agreed that that's a reasonable change based on their average month average days on the market until sale. Many homes that are for sale and are vacant are not vacant, are vacant because the seller has moved into a new home, and so that would not be included. But 6 months would be a better mark. So I would move to strike 3 and insert 6.
Senator Rest moves on line 118.2, delete 3 and insert 6. Any other discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, I have another amendment. It's the A4 amendment.
Senator Rest moves the A4.
Mr. Chairman, in 1988, we had we adopted a statewide authority for and conditions and terms for counties to adopt a capital improvement plan that would no longer necessitate individual counties having to come to the legislature to ask for that authority. Among the purposes for capital improvements that we excluded at the time, 1988, keep that in mind, was light rail transit or any activity related to it. And the amendment strikes that language both for the general law and then also for Hennepin County's law. Counties don't do light rail transit. The regional rail authorities do it. However, the council has advised that the phrase in particular or any activity related to it has caused a bit of heartburn, because if you put in a sidewalk near a transit station, is that any activity related to it? And so this would clear it up that kind of activity for a county, putting in a sidewalk near a bus station or whatever, would not cause any ambiguity. And I don't know that anybody objects to that on any purposeful grounds. I think it's non-controversial.
Would anybody like to testify to the amendment? They feel strongly for or against it? Senator Dibble, good idea?
Mr. Chair, I think it's a good idea.
On the A4 amendment, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Contrary, no. Motion prevails. A4 is adopted. Other amendments? Other amendments to the bill? Would anybody like to testify on the bill? on what's in the bill, not something that's not in.
Get us out of here.
Matthews?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Joe Matthews, Association of Minnesota Counties. I apologize if I missed this. The effective date on the federal lease lands on line 73.5 is currently for taxes payable 2010. If we could have that for payable 2011, I think was the intent.
Mr. Matthews, that's the first thing we did when we took the bill from the table today.
I apologize I wasn't here, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Would anybody else like to testify on provisions in the bill? This will be a pretty lean tax bill, Senator Fogelmuller. There's not even any testimony. Senator Skoy moves Senate File 3327 as amended be recommended to pass and sent to the floor of the Senate. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary, no. The motion prevails. Senate File 3327 is passed.
Mr. Chair. He's going to ask.
Senator Mock, could you please don't run off. We have a bill of Senator Dibble's that we're having a conversation about. It was his tobacco products bill, and there is now a penalty provision in it. So the question was raised by members of the Judiciary Committee whether your committee would need to see the bill. So there was an amendment.
Mr. Chair, I've seen the amendment.
It's the A3.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dibble shared the amendment with me last night. I had a chance to look at it. It's a petty misdemeanor, and we generally have taken a pass on it, except if it's in a situation where it leads to an enhancement as a consequence, and I don't think that that's what's in this amendment. So,
Senator Limmer.
Mr. Chair, we're referring to the A3 amendment?
Correct, Senator Limmer.
When I look at the A3 amendment, I find three charges, one gross misdemeanor, one misdemeanor, and one petty misdemeanor. It's not limited to just one petty misdemeanor. Am I reading it wrong, or have we amended this to remove these other two criminal sanctions?
Well,
Senator Dibble.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, and I'll, you know, my witnesses are around. I'll ask them to help me if I get this wrong.
Ms. Gordon, why don't you come up to the table? Senator Dibble, go ahead.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. As I understand the way we've constructed 609.6855, Section 12 of the bill, it simply mirrors the same provisions that we already have in statute, which you find in 609.685 for other tobacco products. This just simply creates the same provisions for the nicotine delivery system, the e-cigarette and the Lobelia. So it is effectively just it's an attempt to clarify, you know, right now under current law, 609.685 is about those penalties that relate to selling tobacco to minors. We construe tobacco to mean the little pellets, the tablets, et cetera, as well as the e-cigarettes. But because we don't want to define the e-cigarettes as tobacco because they're not, we simply create a parallel construction and drop that into 609.6855. So that's what we do. So what Senator Limmer said is true, but insofar as it's kind of a clarification of how we construe sales to minors for tobacco or tobacco-like devices. That information I'll defer to Senator Moore.
So, Mr. Chair, we're not creating any new penalties. What I understood was that new penalty that was created was probably the petty misdemeanor, but it's just adding to a penalty that's already in existence,
or
other products that would be eligible for a penalty that's already in existence. So,
that is correct.
Senator Limmer, anything further?
Well, I'm glad we had the discussion. It gives a little more definition to what we're doing. We're not opening up two or three more criminal sanctions that are completely new. We're just adding products two existing criminal sanctions. Good discussion.
Senator Marty, I just want to be clear that you don't have an interest in seeing this. This is pretty purely a policy bill that the tax committee is now dealing with when the tax provisions were taken out. So, Senator Marty?
Mr. Chairman, when I looked at this, I mentioned to Senator Dibble the other day that I didn't feel a pressing need for it. I think that when I was looking, I always think of it as more as commerce issues, and I'm told Senator Scheid didn't feel it that way. I mean, I don't object to seeing the bill. I think we can get it out quickly, but I don't think the committee is going to do more than take a look at it and say, okay. But and I don't think anybody else on my committee is here. But I would say no, but if people feel strongly, I don't mind hearing the bill.
Senator Dibble?
Mr. Chair, it's just, yeah, I'm comfortable if the committee feels strongly that I go to the health committee. It's just slows it down a little bit. We have time to deal with it. If Senator Marty wants to reconvene his committee, you know, we just need to pass through and get on our way to the floor.
Mr. Chairman, I don't feel a pressing need to. If somebody on the committee wants to send it there, we'll hear the bill, but I don't.
Let me be clear. I'd prefer not to go to the health committee just because, you know, because it slows things down, and you know.
Mr. Chairman, have we voted on the amendment?
Yes, we did put the amendment on.
We did.
Yes,
we did.
Senator Dibble renews his motion that Senate File 3055, as amended, be recommended to pass and be sent to the floor of the Senate. Any other discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary, no.
No.
The motion prevails. Senator Limmer.
Mr. Chair, going back to the omnibus tax bill, we had a brief discussion yesterday regarding the nonprofit treatment for low-income housing. And we had a discussion of if we really want to promote low-income housing, how about including for-profit corporations as they build smaller homes for low-income housing? We at least examine the possibility of giving them the same treatment that nonprofits have. I have some preliminary figures. I'm hoping to create an amendment that we could consider on the floor. I'll breeze it past you before we get to that point. Some interesting figures are coming up. 60 to 70% of all low-income housing is built by for-profit corporations. I think there's kind of a feeling that only nonprofits can build low-income housing, and that's entirely not true. Also, nonprofits are pretty much centered in the urban areas of the Twin Cities, so rural areas of Minnesota don't have nonprofits to build low-income housing. So it certainly is an area that needs to be examined and pursued. And I'll do my best to get some type of working document for our committee to examine before we get to the floor.
Senator Limmer, why don't we have counsel explain the way the exemption works? Counsel?
The current exemption for low-income housing is actually what's important is who owns the house, the housing when it's being built, not who does the building. And in fact, if there is a private contractor who's working in conjunction with a housing authority or a nonprofit or the specified entities in the limited liability partnership, then the exemption still applies. It doesn't matter who is doing the building. It's who actually owns the housing.
Senator Limmer, was that your understanding?
Well, it's a new wrinkle to the understanding of who does it. I can certainly understand where a building corporation, a contractor, may want to build low-income housing, but if he has to shift gears and now put it under a different corporate entity, that certainly increases expenses. It may even be a means to dampen the private sector from being involved in this critical offering for families. So maybe it's something that we should continue to look at.
Anybody from Housing Finance here? Long shot. Anybody from the department know if there are any for-profit corporations that own low-income housing? Ms. Cadoon?
Mr. Chair, Beth Cadoon from the Department of Revenue. The information that I got this morning from Tanya Orr, who's with the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency, and what she said is her, she said approximately, it kind of varies a little bit, but she said between 30 and 40% of these projects are done by the nonprofit as well as then owned by the nonprofits for the low-income housing. So the statistic I think that Senator Limmer mentioned would be accurate.
Thank you.
So if you're looking to then expand this to the for-profits, just to extrapolate on that a little bit, just a rough calculation that was done by research, our research division then said the current sales tax exemption for the construction costs of the low-income housing is about $1.8 million currently. If you would then expand it to the for-profit entities as well, for these projects, it would probably be around $4 million a year.
$4 million per year?
It's going to go in the pile.
Is that total?
Signed.
With nonprofits and profits together,
if you added,
that would be $4
current law would be for the nonprofits. So if you expand that exemption to the for-profits, it would show an additional general fund loss of $4 million annually. But that's, like I said, a rough calculation.
Senator Limmer, I think you make a very reasonable argument, but I also think it's probably not a $4 million amendment on the floor is probably kind of problematic for us. But I would suggest to you or anybody who's interested in that, there's a very reasonable argument there that if you're building low-income housing, depending on who owns it, one should be tax-exempt, one not. I think there's a good discussion maybe for the committee to have next year.
I understand our problem, Mr. Chair. It's hard to squeeze blood out of a turnip, they say, and it's going to be hard to find another court.
I think Senator Cohen would be pretty excited if we spent $8 million in the next biennium on the floor. Senator Scoy.
Mr. Chair and Senator Limmer, I'm drafting some checkoff amendments, so I'll add that.
Anything else, members? We do not have another committee hearing scheduled. That doesn't mean there might not be one. But I want to thank everybody for their participation this session. We had very, very good attendance at all of our committee meetings and good attendance on time. So I want to thank everybody for all the work that you put into the Tax Committee this year. Senator Scheid.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was going to ask a question. I know I talked to you about the developer transfer fee issue that I brought up last week, and that's something I think you don't need to hear if we hear it in another committee. Is that correct?
No, okay. I don't believe there's no tax issues in
no,
that.
No.
So, and to all of the staff that served the Tax Committee, both partisan and nonpartisan, thank you for all of your work. You're the people that make us look good, and we very much appreciate that. So, thank you all very much.
And
committee's adjourned.